I think this is an important thought. Your life is an eternity. Your life is not here. Your life is an eternity. You're seated on a throne at the right hand of God. And whether you realize it or not, whether you recognize it or not, you are there now. You are there now. Where I get in trouble as a believer is when I stop realizing where I am. Believers need to recognize two things: who they are and where they are. And if I am a believer who only recognizes who I am, but does not recognize where I am, then I will lose who I am in my experience before God. Because my orientation will be horizontal, and my soul will cling to the dust. But if I am a believer who recognizes where I am, then that will strengthen and it will edify and it will reinforce who I am before God. I am who God says I am. I am not my failure. I am not my shortcoming. Now be careful. I am not as I think in my heart. That is just my experience. But it's not who I am. Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he in his experience. But it is not who God says I am. God says I am accepted in the Beloved, loved with an everlasting love, seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God, inseparable from Him. I am, like you said, 1 Peter 3:12. I am the entire occupation of the eternal mind of God. This is who I am. I am the entire occupation of the eternal mind of God. This is who I am. This is who you are. So I need to recognize who I am and where I am. Because if I don't recognize where I am, I can't fully grasp who I am. I can say that I am a child of the King. But do I believe that I am in the kingdom? The child of the King has free reign in the throne room. But yet, if I am afraid to approach the throne, then I can say that I am the child of the King, but the experience is not there. The way that I get experience in my position, part of it is to recognize where I am. And then my position can become my experience. Because I start to realize through a new frame of reference, a frame of reference based on eternal truths, I start to realize that this is reality. I think one of the biggest challenges to Christians today is reality. We don't like to live in reality. We live on a horizontal plateau, when in truth we have a vertical life. You know what happens there? This dichotomy leads to a schism. And this schism prevents me from experiencing the fullness of my position. And so as a believer, I may experience moments of victory, but not the fullness of victory. For example, I may overcome a weakness, but then I end up falling right back into it. Why? Because I did not experience the fullness of the victory. I did not really accept where I am. Imagine that you are invited to the White House for dinner. How will you address things? How will you approach your life? Now imagine, because the White House is small potatoes, if you are in the presence of the Eternal King. You are in the presence of the Eternal King. You're not only in His presence, you're seated at His right hand, on a throne in the heavenlies, inseparable from Him. He is in you and you are in Him. Both occupying all of eternity to the other. This is the presence of the King. What would you say, and I've asked you this before, what would you say? Think about it. Listen and think about this. What would you say if suddenly, in the middle of this room, Christ appeared? He did that before, in the upper room, with the disciples. He came through the wall and He appeared. Well, if you are living in reality, then you would say it's no different than what's happening now. If you're living in reality, He's here. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, He is there with you. He's here. Can't see Him. Maybe someday we'll be able to. Someday for certain we'll be able to. But people have seen angels. They're in this room now. The fact that you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. It's like we were talking at the beginning about sight. The way that our mind and our eyes work, we think we see everything, but in truth we just see bits and pieces. The reality of it is that despite what we think, we see bits and pieces. And our mind fills in the rest. Now, if our mind fills in the rest with the right information, then we have what is real. But if our mind fills in the rest with limited information, then we have a false perception and a false understanding of reality. Well, as human beings, we cannot see with our eyes the eternal. So we have no option but to live by faith. Wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom is justified of her children. Peter was told, you're going to go to places where you would not go. And another will gird you. And that was the wisdom of God. Go figure. Who would have thought? Think about Stephen for a minute. What was Stephen's life? Well, the only thing that's really recorded about Stephen in any great length was one discourse that got him killed. What was that all about? You know what it was all about? Paul was the one who killed him. The apostle. It's just he wasn't the apostle yet. When Paul, then Saul, stoned Stephen, or was the one who gave the authority to stone him, to kill him, and Stephen looks into the heavens as he is dying and sees God standing at the throne and says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. that spoke to Saul. Without that, I am absolutely convinced Saul would have never become Paul. And 2/3 of the New Testament would have never been written by him. My life has value, I don't know. Trouble is when I lose sight of the fact that I'm seated above in heavenly places. Because then I take on an earthly value system toward my life. But my value system is not of the earth. Now, if I walk in an illusion, then I will take on that earthly value system. But if I live in reality, I'll take on an eternal value system. And suddenly, my entire perspective, my entire frame of reference is completely transformed. Can you imagine being Gideon? You're up against a huge army. And you raise up an army of 30,000 men, and God says you have too many. You get rid of 27,000 of them, and God says you have too many. And you end up with 300, and you're going up against a huge, powerful army. What sense does that make? Well, it doesn't make sense to the earthly mind. But to the eternal mind, it made perfect sense. Why? Because God says, I'm going to fight this battle, but there's only 300 who are willing to trust me for it. The rest of them are too afraid, send them home. Either they were afraid, 27,000, or they weren't watchmen. They didn't have that eternal value system. And they weren't useful. They were still Israelites, but they weren't useful in the battle. The ones that were useful were the ones who picked up the water in their hands. What does it mean to pick up the water in your hands and then drink? To make it a practical reality. And you're drinking from a practical reality. That takes trust in God. That takes trust in His promises. That takes trust in His faithfulness. To make the invisible a practical reality. But mind you, it's the same word that became flesh. This is the thing. That's where my life takes on genuine value. When the Word of God, the promises of God, stop going from a natural viewpoint, right? Proverbs 3:5, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. Don't lean on your own understanding. People have a difficult time with it because they can't physically see Him. But you know what? Only in that way can I see the eternal. There is no other way to see the eternal. Only in that way can I see that which is invisible. So faith is a better sight than sight. I look around and I see walls. I can see into the room over there. I can see a few people. Some chairs and stuff. And that's it. You know what's funny? I can't even see my car from here. That's how I got here. I can't even see how I got here. And I can't see how I'm going to go home. That's the value of my sight. But faith lets me see God. And not just see Him, but to experience Him. And to have His life. Do you know you can have the life of God? You're intended to. And I do it by faith. And that comes. That practical reality comes. When I know who I am. But I also know where I am. So as a believer, those are two things I need to know. I need to know who I am, and I need to know where I am. And if I don't know those two things, I will not have the full experience of the life of Christ. If I do know those two things, then there are no limits. There are no limits. One believer in the Bible, you can go from book to book, Genesis. I mean, okay, we start with Adam, gets the eternal promise. We start with a promise. Okay, goes from Adam. Okay, goes to Enoch. Goes to Noah. Okay, goes to Abraham. Goes to Moses. Right? Goes to Joshua. Goes to all the judges. Goes to Samuel. Goes to David. Goes to Solomon. Okay. Goes to Ezra. 15-year-old kid. Goes to Ezra. All of them seeing the invisible. Goes to Nehemiah. The servant of the Babylonian king. Who would have thought that a cupbearer would be rebuilding Jerusalem? Why? He was the servant of the king. 17-year-old kid gets thrown in a hole, delivers all of Israel. Right? Who else? Esther, young girl. God uses this young kid to save Israel against the enemy. Who else? Job. Job, the spectacle for all of heaven to see the faithfulness of God. He had no idea what was going on except that it came from God. That's all Job knew. It came from God. One after other. Judge it. Ruth. Forgot Ruth. 16, 17-year-old. Became the grandmother of David's father. The line of the king. Every one of these people had to see the invisible in order to enter into the eternal. You know, you will not enter into the eternal unless you see the invisible. But if you do see the invisible, you will enter into the eternal. That's how it works. Our life is only limited by how much we are willing to respond in faith. That's it. There's nothing else that limits us. God certainly doesn't. Hey, the man walked on water because God said, "It's me, come hither." So Peter jumps out of the boat and actually walks on the water. His life was only inhibited, he's only limited by how much he was willing to respond in faith. Peter wasn't anything special. He was just willing to respond. Joseph wasn't anything special. He was willing to respond. None of these people were any different than we are. They were just willing to respond. They were not going to say, "This is my sight and this is my horizontal orientation." They were going to say, "I see the invisible and I'm walking in the eternal." That's what they were going to say. And that's what they got. They saw the invisible and walked in the eternal. I'd rather see the invisible. You know, this world doesn't have any appeal to the spiritual believer. Because there's nothing here. There's nothing here. The only thing that's in this world is a bunch of lost souls and opportunities from God. But that's it. I don't want my portion in this world. Because there's nothing here. I mean, think about it. You can be the richest man in the world, but you know what? I've seen so many people die, and I've seen people who are quite rich and quite poor, quite old and quite young, and they all have one thing in common. When they die, they go out naked. When they die, they go out naked. That's it. It's the great equalizer. I like that song. He is no fool who trades what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I mean, let's live like that. Let's trade what we cannot keep to gain what we cannot lose. Anyway, that's just a thought before we get started.